Leave me alone. I cannot leave alone a soul in pain. Do you know who I am? That makes no difference. All men are equal in God's eyes. Are they? Offer me your confession. I can offer you God's forgiveness.
That's right. It's confession time. Hey, have you ever... Has anyone ever called you out and you deserved it? You know, like, maybe you did something to hurt somebody's feelings, or maybe you were angry and then someone called you out on it. Well, that's kind of what happened to me. Yeah, my wife, Dixie, she called me out on something, and I deserved to be called out on it, and it was confession time. Confession time. Hey, you are listening to Mornings with Ken, and I'm so glad you guys stopped by. Get that cup of coffee, get that virtual donut, come on in, grab a seat, kick the shoes off, and stay a while. I'm really glad you're here. Now, since this is confession time, let's just keep this between me and you, okay? Don't go out and tell nobody my confessions. My sins. So let's just keep this between me and you, okay? So, I've had an attitude about something. And I'm not, you know, no situations need to be told. But, and there could be, there's different factors of my anger. Not really anger, but disappointment. Jaded about something and just, yeah. So, I had an attitude because the way I think something should be done or handled or acted upon, isn't what others have in mind. And it's difficult when your perspective is, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 plus another 2 = 8, and the answer, you know, should be 8. When other people view it as, well, let's throw some, you know, algebra in there and 2 to the 7th power divided by 3 equals whatever. And they have a different perspective, and it doesn't make sense to me how they view something. And I question, oh, here's the sin. Here's really the sin part. Oh, man. Hail Mary, full of grace. Now the Lord's in second place. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Penitence. Anyway. What was I talking about? Oh, my sin. Confess your sins one to another. Wait, where am I going? Okay. Focus, Kenny, focus. So, my sin is being angry. Angry is a strong word. But being upset, being, let's just call it like it is, I guess, angry, disappointed, jaded, because I believe it's wrong decisions are made or were made, and the direction doesn't match up with my direction. And you know, I'm right about everything, right? Like, my opinion and perspective is all that matters. Right? I mean, I'm correct, they're wrong. That's the way it's got to be, because it's all about me and my perspective and my opinion about something. So I hold resentment against a situation that's called sin. It's called sin. I expect the results to match my expectations. And it doesn't go that way. In fact, decisions, situations go the opposite way of what I believe to be correct. So I harbor resentment against a situation and people of a situation. And I am assuming their motives are a certain way, when in reality I don't know their motive or the result of decisions made. I don't know where their heart is. I should assume the best intentions, but I am judging them, but not really checking with them and having a conversation to try to justify to understand their justification for decisions being made. And that's a sin. Oh man, I don't like it when I sin. When I'm a goofball and I sin and make bad decisions. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. So, hey, I'll be right back.
Hey, gonna serve your coffee?
Sorry, honey, but your coffee tastes terrible.
Everything's wonderful.
Even the coffee's better. Here. You're welcome, darling. But if you could do one thing for me.
What?
Try to do something about your coffee.
I still say don't serve your awful coffee with my steak.
How can such a pretty wife make such bad coffee?
Now, honey, all I said was...
I don't make good
coffee.
Again? Even today?
Honey, your coffee just doesn't taste any good.
Honey, happiness is a vacation. Away from your coffee.
So, you know, you gotta check the source. You gotta check the source to keep your heart in check. And, of course, by that I mean going right back to Scripture. And see what the Bible says about bitterness. Check out Ephesians Ephesians 4:31. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And you know, on Mornings with Ken, I always read things twice. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. You know, so many times it's hard to read scripture. It's hard to read scripture because it convicts you. It convicts you. It doesn't say, unless you're justified, you know, you can harbor bitterness and wrath and anger. Even if you're right about a situation or issue, even if you're right and they're wrong, whoever they are, you still cannot have bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander. It still needs to be put away from you, along with malice, wishing ill will on somebody. So bitterness. To me, bitterness starts in your own heart. Bitterness starts in your own heart by what? It's almost like there's something going on in your heart that's stirring this bitterness. So you got to check your own heart and see if your heart's in the right place. And I promise you, if you're experiencing bitterness, your heart's not exactly in the right place. You have to put away the bitterness. And that's not easy to do. But that's why we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And next here it says, wrath. Wrath. Yeah, you know, sometimes when we're bitter against somebody, we almost are calling down wrath upon them. Like, oh, I hope this blows up in their face. They didn't make the decision that I think they should make. I hope this blows up in their face and it doesn't work out. No, scripture says don't do that. Don't be wrathful. Don't hope that wrath comes upon them. And then next we have anger. Anger. If you're angry in your heart, again, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. And you must ask yourself, why am I angry? Because I didn't get my way? Because their decision went against my decision? Or their ideas don't match up with my ideas? Their perspective is different than my perspective? So I'm angry in my heart? What is going on in my heart that causes the anger? Again, perhaps you are even right in your perception. Perhaps things that are happening, decisions made, or interactions with people, perhaps you're even correct. But it still doesn't allow you to have anger in your heart. And next we have clamor. You know, clamor is a fun word, right? Clamor. And you know what clamoring is, right? Clamoring is like you're talking about it. You just won't let it go. You're thinking about it. You're clamoring about it. You're talking, perhaps to other people about it. And you're being unstable. Your brain is caught up in it. You're maybe even involving other people by your clamoring. This person did this, or this person didn't do this, or this person that, this person that. You're just clamoring over and over and over again. You're not letting it go. That's what clamoring is. And again, even if we are in the right side of the issue, even if we legitimately are on the right side of the issue, it doesn't give us the right to clamor and complain and murmur and just talk bad about someone. And that leads us to our next word here, slander. You know, that's a serious issue when we slander against someone. Especially someone, well, anybody, but especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, slander. Hey, Bob, I know you're my good friend here, Bob. Did you know that this is going on, and this person said this, or this person treated me this, or this organization made this decision, or this blah blah blah, or yeah. So you're attacking their character, and you haven't even approached them to clarify their position, their stance. So you're slandering their character. And you may lead that other person to have a bad opinion about someone, and then they may go tell another person. So then it turns into gossip. So this is just all creating a black heart in your own heart, and it's stirring up trouble. So we got to put these things away, and also we have to put away malice. We can't have malice in our hearts, where we just want, we're so angry, we want them to feel the pain that we felt, or something like that. You know, we're angry, we're malice. I'm gonna get them back. I'm gonna get them back. If that's what they think they're gonna do, well, I'm gonna see to it that they get what's coming to them. That's malice. We're not to have malice in our hearts. And then, let's move on to Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, and by it may be defiled, and many be defiled. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, and many may be defiled by it. So you're bringing up trouble because of your bitterness, and it could cause others to stumble. So now you're making this issue larger. It's bringing up trouble. It's stirring up trouble, maybe within an organization or a church or a community of friends, all because of that bitterness that has been in your heart. And the Bible says, don't let that happen. Don't let that happen. But we're too caught up in ourselves to, stop doing that. We want revenge. We want justice. No, you're just rooting up bitterness. You're stirring up trouble. And we're not to do that as believers in Christ. So, all right, now I better step inside the confession booth there with the priest there, go confess my sins to the Father there. But no, actually, we have a Heavenly Father. We don't have to go to man to confess our sins to a priest. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. So you can go right to Him in prayer and put your heart right with the Father. So, hey, thanks for stopping by, guys. You know I love you. I appreciate you guys. All right. Bye-bye now.
No grabbing, no conniving, no stopping will do. They'll never make no change in you. You can hold your breath, stand on your hands. Still change won't come till spirit left. Abide in. That's when the changes come. Abide in Jesus. There's that getting it done. Now a Christian brother whose name was Ben had a real bad problem, seemed without end. His patience at times got the better of him, so we tried many methods, like counting to 10. Still the harder he tried, the harder it got, till his face go red and he cussed a lot. He confessed his sin and forgiveness came, but then Ben would go out and do it again. What the old boy needed was delivery, and only God's spirit could set him free. Ben began to abide like a branch to a vine, now deliverance is his. Every time, no bribing, no conniving, no striving will do, they'll never make no change in you. You can hold your breath, stand on your hands. The change won't come till the spirit led. Abide in, that's when changes come. Abide in Jesus, the best at getting it done. Had a problem too, though not like Ben. She kept her cool, but when it came to gossip, man, that got wrapped. She found it hard to say something kind, wound up hurting someone every time. With the juicy story, she just couldn't shut her trap. But Sue found the secret of taking God's rest, and instead of making promises and doing her best, she lets the Lord take that tongue control. Now instead of sowing distrust and discord, she's so busy talking about the Lord that she ain't got time to talk about sowing salt. So. No rhyming, no conniving, no striving will do. They'll never make no change in you. You can hold your breath, stand on your hands. The change won't come till the Spirit led. Abide in, that's when the changes come. Abide in Jesus, the best at getting it done. Driving, no canal, no stop will do. They'll never make no change in you. You can hold your breath, stand on your head. So the change won't come to the spirit yet. Abide in, that's when the changes come. Abide in Jesus, best at getting it done. Abide in Jesus, best at getting it done.